Question 9. We have to get up to like 30. I want to finish tomorrow. There's no more class. Tomorrow's the last day of class?
No, we have the last day of class.
Yeah, we're done.
So we got to finish tomorrow. Okay, so let's go. Question 9. Is there a malach d'oraisa with chaliva into a cup? What is the question that the Achronim ask with regard to nursing away from Shabbos? And how do they answer this question? Okay, so the Gemara says in Maseches Ksubis, if you have a sick man who has some sort of disease that he has to nurse directly from an animal, he has to drink milk directly from the udder of the animal, that was the refuah that he had, so the Gemara calls that kilachar yad. So and we allowed it because he's a chayle, and it's only kilachar yad, it's an abnormal way of milking. But the Shulchan Aruch says, it seems like from this Gemara, that to milk into a cup surely would be a malacha d'oraisa.
So to,
yeah, that's the Gemara says, gonech yonech chalav. That's not important, it's just the background, but that you can, the person who's sick can nurse, can drink milk directly from the udder of the animal, because that's abnormal, which implies that the normal way would be to milk directly into a cup. So to milk into a cup on Shabbos or into a container is in fact a malacha d'oraisa. The bigger halacha though, yeah.
Is that the aspect that's not normal, or is it that's with an animal?
No, to milk an animal is not normal.
For a human to
drink directly from the animal is abnormal, but you put it into a cup, now it's normal. So that's why to milk into a cup, to express milk into a cup, would be malacha d'oraisa. The bir halacha though quotes from a prima gadim that it's only abnormal to nurse directly from an animal. What kind of person does that? But if it would be a human being, that's the way a baby nurses. So then that is normal. So now all of a sudden we have a problem allowing a child to nurse from its mother on Shabbos. You're allowing the child to do, or you're encouraging, you're forcing the child to do a malacha d'oraisa of chaliva. So the answer is no, the child's going to die if he doesn't nurse. What else is he going to eat? But the Achronim asked that nowadays, certainly where you have formula, you have other food you could feed the child, how do we allow or encourage or push the children to do a malacha d'oraisa? Aren't we doing a malacha d'oraisa with the child on Shabbos? And the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamis that ein safinu l'katan isa b'yadayim. We don't feed children macholos asuris. We don't feed children shkatzim v'ramasim or dam or allow them to do tumas kayhanim. We don't do any iser. Feed the child any iser b'yadayim. So how do we allow to feed the child to nurse on Shabbos a malacha d'oraisa of chaliva? Certainly, if the child is more than 2 years old, the Gemara says you're allowed to nurse until 5 years old. So certainly, if the child is more than 2 years old, the child is eating other things. So certainly then it's Issa d'oraisa, you're encouraging the child to do. But even if nowadays you could feed the child formula, so it should be an Issa d'oraisa that we're encouraging the child to do. And even though the Gemara says to nurse directly from an animal is kalacha yad, from a human being is kedarko. So the Achronim answer based on Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam asked the same question, how do we feed children on Yom HaKippurim? A child's going to die if he doesn't have his grilled cheese, peanut butter sandwich? It's not going to die. So how do we feed the child? So Minchas Chinuch actually says parenthetically you can't. You can only feed the child if the child's going to die. But we don't pass it like that. Rabbeinu Tam said no. It's because the only time the Gemara says you can't feed the child, Isurim, is by three cases. The Gemara runs it out from shkatzim, bugs, dam, and tumas kahanim. These are things the child never needs in any context. Child never needs bugs, never needs blood, never needs tumas kahanim. But food was never included in the iser of feeding children Isurim Biyadayim. So like a Yom HaKippurim, it was never included in the whole umbrella of feeding children Isurim Biyadayim, food that the child will sometimes need, will sometimes not need. The child never needs to eat a cheeseburger, but he's going to need a bowl of cereal at some point. He's going to need a sandwich at some point. So since the child will need it sometimes, won't need it other times, they never included that in the Isur of Safinon Isur Biyadayim. Feeding the child needs to be a dime. So since sometimes the child will need to nurse, sometimes the child won't need to nurse, so we don't call it, it needs to be a dime to feed the child, it needs to be a dime to cause the child to nurse on Shabbos. Okay? So, Bekitzer, the answer is that to feed nurse into a cup or to express milk into a cup is a malacha d'oraisa. To nurse from a human being is a malacha d'oraisa because that's normal. Only to nurse directly from an animal would be abnormal. So then the Achronim asks, how do we encourage or force a child to nurse on Shabbos? From forcing him to do a malacha d'oraisa, we don't encourage a child to do a malacha d'oraisa. The answer based on Rabbeinu Tam is that food is never included in that Iser of forcing a child to do an Iser d'oraisa. Because sometimes a child will need the food, sometimes a child won't need the food, just like Yom Kippurim. And we don't, since sometimes he'll need it, sometimes he won't need it, we never included that in the Iser of feeding a child in Iser v'yadayim. Okay. Most of the questions from now on are a little bit shorter. So question 10. I was very ambitious when I started this. I don't think this is too much. Question 10. Rashi and the Ran... I try and pack as much into each question, and then I'm like, this is silly. Question 10. Rashi and the Ran... just hope none of the first nine appear on the test. Rashi and the Ran explain why the Gemara says that there's only Schita Midarais if it's Schita Zeisim Vanovim. Not if it's other payros. What's so unique about Zeis and Anovim, and what difference is there between Rashi and the Ran's explanation? So Rashi says the reason why Zeis and Anovim are unique is because it's the way to squeeze them. That's what they're made for. I mean, that's what everybody, you know, the production process for grapes and olives ends at olive oil and wine, not at grapes and olives. So that, it's Orchayhu Bahachi. The Ran says no, it's because grapes and olive produce a liquid which is one of the Sheva Mashkim, one of the seven important liquids which, the Ran, that are Machshir the Kabbalah's Tumah. If it, fruit gets wet with one of these seven Mashkim, now it can accept Tumah. If it gets wet with any other Mashke, it cannot accept Tumah. It has to be one of these seven. Two of which are oil and olive oil and wine. So since they're Chashuv, independently, it's significant in its own right. That's why it's a Malacha D'Oraisa. Okay, so the Rashi says because it's Zorchayu HaBachi. The Ran says because it's one of the Sheva Mashkim. The Prima Gadim knows there'll be a difference between the two. What about a fruit that nowadays becomes Zorchayu HaBachi? Becomes like grapes and olives, like oranges or grapefruits that they're so commonly squeezed that everybody, when they see an orange, you know, says, oh, they're making it into orange juice. Meaning it's so common, we all we drink orange juice as a mashke. Now, all of a sudden, perhaps they fall into the category of zeisim and anovim, and they'd be schita midoraisa by grapefruits or by oranges. So that should depend. If you hold like Rashi that the reason is because grapes and olives are unique, because that's the way that they're normally used, or it's common for everyone to use them in that way, so the grapes, oranges and grapefruits maybe too. But if it's for the Ran, it's because oil and wine are two of the Sheva Mashkim, it won't necessarily include then orange juice and grapefruit juice. Okay, so Nafkamina, the one end Rashi says it's because Urchayu Bahachi, Zeisim and Anovim is the normal way. The Ran says it's because they're one of the Sheva Mashkim. The Nafkamina will be by other fruits that nowadays becomes Urchayu Bahachi, will there be an Isser Midaraisa of Schita. Okay, 11. Why are you allowed to squeeze grapes and olives into a food? Why does the Rach not accept this kula, and how does the Shulchan Aruch pass it? So the Gemara says you're allowed to squeeze grapes and olives l'soicha kedera, but not l'toicha ka'ara. So the Gemara says what that means is if it's an empty pot, you can't squeeze grapes and olives into it. But if there's food inside, you can squeeze grapes and olives directly into the food. So if you want to squeeze a fruit directly onto food, that would be allowed. Why? So Rishonim explained, because that's called Uchla de Ifras, food which was split. Meaning, the only time there's an Isser Shechita is if I squeeze a solid and I produce a mashke. But if I squeeze a solid and the mashke go directly into another solid, that's just like cutting the orange in half. I have in one half of the the equation solid, at the other end, I also have solid. I don't have mashke because the orange juice went directly onto my orange chicken. So it never existed independently as a mashke. So that's the reason that it's allowed. The Rach, though, asks that the Gemara elsewhere doesn't seem to quote this kula. The Gemara discusses squeezing cucumbers that are pickles or cooked vegetables, and the Gemara debates whether there's an Issa Midoraisa or not. Nobody ever said, well, you could squeeze it into food. So the Rach claims that the Gemara about squeezing pickles and cooked vegetables rejects this kula, we don't hold of it. That's why they didn't bring it up. Other Rishonim say, no, we don't have to bring up every Gemara every single time we talk about it. And just because we talk about Schita doesn't mean we have to bring up this Heter every single time.
What was the first opinion? Sorry.
The first, as you said, the Gemara says you could squeeze fruits and vegetables, whatever. You could squeeze fruits, even Zeisim and Anovim, into food. The Rabbeinu Chananel says, yeah, but in the Gemara about squeezing pickles and cooked vegetables, which was a machlokes, whether it's deraisa, derabanan, Rabbi Yochanan held as deraisa, Rav and Shmuel held as only derabanan, no one ever brought up that you could squeeze it into food. So Rabbeinu Chananel says that Gemara disagrees with the Gemara about squeezing into food, and we don't hold of that kula at all. Because why didn't the Gemara bring it up later? Tosfos disagrees and says, well, the Gemara doesn't have to bring it up every single time that we talk about squeezing fruits. Oh, and if you squeeze it into food, it's allowed. We know that. Rabbeinu Chananel says, well, why don't think about bringing it up here? Must be, we don't hold like that. And Tosfos says, we don't have to bring it up every time. We have to mention every single time. Oh, but if you squeeze it into food, then it's allowed. Ridiculous. Fine, that's Machlekes Tyson Rabbeinu Chananel. Do we actually hold of this kula of squeezing Zeis and Anavim into food? Rabbeinu Chananel holds we don't hold of it. The Gemara ultimately rejected it. There's another Gemara that contradicts it. And Tosfos holds we accept it. What's interesting is when the Shulchan Aruch quotes the heter of squeezing grapes and olives into food, he does not bring up Rabbeinu Chananel. Sounds like he holds like Tosfos. You can squeeze, the Shulchan Aruch says you can squeeze grapes and olives into food. No problem. However, when the Shulchan Aruch discusses squeezing cucumbers and cooked vegetables, he brings up, oh, and Rabbeinu Chananel holds you can't squeeze it into food. We don't hold of that heter. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, yeah, if we don't hold of the heter by cooked vegetables and pickles, we wouldn't hold of it by grapes and olives either. You can't squeeze grapes and olives into food. The Shulchan Aruch brings up grapes and olives, never mentions Rabbeinu Chananel. When he gets to cooked vegetables and pickles, he says, oh, Rabbeinu Chananel doesn't hold of this kula of squeezing into food. So Mishnah Berurah says, once we don't hold of it by cooked vegetables and by pickles, we shouldn't hold of it by grapes and olives either. Even though Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring up Rabbeinu Chananel there, that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes.
I understand the opposite way.
Because the Shulchan Aruch only brings him up by cooked vegetables and pickles.
That's what I understand. He said he accepts it by grapes and olives, but he doesn't accept. He quotes Rabbeinu Chananel by...
Only by cooked vegetables and pickles.
We shouldn't accept it.
Yeah, we can't accept the kula of being sochet into food.
At all.
Yeah. So Mishnah Berurah says, why am I bringing it up by grapes and olives? So it would be the same there too. But it could be it's not. Why didn't the Shulchan Aruch, if the Shulchan Aruch felt that way, why didn't the Shulchan Aruch bring it up in both places? So the Rav Shach suggests a fascinating suggestion. He suggests that perhaps the Shulchan Aruch went with a compromise. The Shulchan Aruch held that perhaps we can only accept Rabbeinu Chananel by pickles and by cooked vegetables. Why? But not by grapes and olives. Because by grapes and olives, we can really call it uchla de ifras. We can call it cutting the food in half. You squeeze, one end you have grapes, and on the other end you have a salad, oichel, on the other end you have oichel. Fine, that's mutter. By cooked vegetables and by pickles, the juice, the liquid, never started in the pickle, never started in the vegetables. That's not the vegetable juice or pickle juice. That's the water we stuffed into the vegetable. So in which case, if you squeeze the pickle, you can't call that cutting a pickle in half. On one end of the equation you have oichel, on the other end of the equation you have oichel. No, the juice that comes out of the pickle is mashke because it was always independently mashke. It was just food, mashke that was stuffed into the pickle. So there the Shulchan Aruch says, maybe we shouldn't accept the kula of squeezing from food into food because the mashke of the pickle, you can't call uchla de ifras. You can't call cutting a pickle in half because the liquid never was part of the pickle in the first place. So perhaps there the Shulchan Aruch doesn't accept Rabbeinu Chananel. There the Shulchan Aruch would accept Rabbeinu Chananel. You can't squeeze food into food because we can't call that cutting food in half. But by grapes and olives, we can accept the kula. Because by grapes and olives, the juice actually started in the grape or the olive. So then to squeeze from the grape or the olive into food, we could call uchel de ifras. We could call oichel on the one end, oichel on the other end. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Is that the last part?
It was Shach. That's what Shach's pshat. And it's Sefer Avi Ezri. Brilliant. Okay. 14. Ma haisa minig Mitzrayim gabei schitas limunayish. What did they do in Mitzrayim regarding lemonade? And how does the Beis Yosef justify this minig? Oh, we skipped 13.
Yeah.
We skipped 12? Oh, we skipped 12. Wow. Okay, 12. Hey, im mutar la'adam. Very good, thank you. Is a person allowed to milk an animal into food on Shabbos and Yom Tov? How did Rav Shlomo Zalman use this to answer the kasha of the Achronim we mentioned earlier? So the Gemara says you can milk from a cow into food. Just like you can squeeze grapes and olives into food, you can milk from a cow into food. Why? Because on one end of the equation is oichel, is the cow. The other end of the equation is oichel, is you milk the cow into oatmeal. Fine, mutter. So it's oichel, oichel. The Tosfos though writes, well, 1 minute, a cow is not oichel on Shabbos. You can't shech the cow on Shabbos. So maybe this is only allowed on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you can shech the cow. So the cow is oichel. So you can squeeze the cow into, you can milk the cow into food. But not on Shabbos. Okay? So Gemara says you can do this. You can milk a cow into food. Tosfos writes only on Yom Tov. Because Shabbos, you can't shech the animal, so it's not oichel to oichel, it's cow to oichel. And the cow, you can't shech on Shabbos, only on Yom Tov.
Tosfos.
Yeah. Rav Shlomo Zalman says perhaps that's the heter to allow babies to nurse on Shabbos. Oh, we're encouraging the child to do a malacha d'oraisa of chaliva. So Shlomo Zalman argued, no, maybe since the milk goes directly from the mother into the baby, it never exists independently as a mashke, it should be allowed. It's like uchla de ifras. And the Achronim reject of Shlomo Zalman. What is the mother food? All of a sudden, you can't eat the mother. If Tosfos said you can't eat the cow on Shabbos, because you can't shech the cow on Shabbos, so it's not uchla de ifras, it's only on Yom Tov, how could it be if Shlomo Zalman suggests such a svar by a mother? Wait, you can't shech the mother on Shabbos? Why on Yom Tov? There's no heter over here. Can't eat people. So then the mother's not food. So then how can you have the heter of uchla de ifras? So if Shlomo Zalman said just like you can milk a cow into food, so too perhaps the mother can nurse into the baby, and one end of the equation you put in food and you come out with food, the mashke never exists. But Tosfos said we don't accept that on Shabbos even, because you can't shech the animal on Shabbos, only on Yom Tov. So how can we accept that by the mother? The mother's not food. So that's why the Achronim reject Shlomo Zalman's suggestion. Yeah.
Isn't it enough in the Nesra without the Ochel, just to say that it's never its own?
Could be that's what Shlomo Zalman meant, yeah. Right. Could be that's what he meant. But that's the...
Is that strong enough?
Maybe, I don't know. The Rabbeinu Tam is the real answer, is that it's only things, we only needs to feed a child things that sometimes he needs, that he always doesn't need. But if it's something that he will need sometimes, he will feed it to him sometimes, he won't feed it to him other times, we never included that in the Isser, feeding children Isser. Okay, 13. When is it allowed to squeeze tusim v'rimonim and other peros, and how do we paskin? Okay, so the Gemara says, that tusim and rimonim were unique because there was one place in the world, the Beis Menashe Bar Menachem, that they squeezed tusim and rimonim for juice. So the Gemara says, since there was one place where they squeezed it, and you couple that together with a principle called achshavei, if I do something that demonstrates that something is significant, even though normally, let's say, pills on Shabbos, on Pesach, nobody would consider food. If I eat them, or maybe I've now deemed it as food. By doing an action that shows that something is chashuv, that itself deems, endows it with chashivos. So the Gemara says, perhaps squeezing tusim v'rimonim for mashke should be usher in the combination of these two items. Combination of the fact that it's achshavei, you have now deemed it as a mashke by the fact that you squeezed it for the mashke, and the fact that there was one place in the world that they did squeeze them in Beis Menashe Bar Menachem. So Rashi writes that tusim and v'rimonim, you're not allowed to squeeze the shei mashke because of these two principles. Because of achshavei and because it was one place in the world that they did it. So Rashi writes, you're not allowed to squeeze tusim and rimonim at all. Not l'shei mashke, not l'matik esapri, for no reason. You're not allowed to squeeze it l'shei mashke. Rashi even writes, even shar peros, even peros that nobody squeezes anywhere in the world, you're not allowed to squeeze it l'shei mashke because of the principle of achshavei. Okay, so Rashi shita is, you're not allowed to squeeze anything l'shei mashke because once you do it, you endow it with the status of chashivus based on achshavei. It now has the status of a mashke. Even though nobody ever squeezed guavas before, if you do it for mashke, you have endowed it with the status of mashke, and now it's usher. So Rashi holds you not allowed to squeeze anything l'shem mashke. The Rashba disagrees, and he says, no, you're only not allowed to squeeze it l'shem mashke if there's some place in the world that they actually squeeze it l'shem mashke. But if there's nowhere in the world that they do this, so then we say you are negligible.
Then you're the some place in the world.
No. It has to be that it's the minig of one place. Not that I did it one time.
What if someone else did it one time?
Not that one person. It has to be common, exactly.
But according to Rashi.
According to Rashi, you don't have to squeeze anything because once you do it, you've endowed it. Achshavei alone is operative here. So according to Rashi, Achshavei takes the day. Once you squeeze the l'shei mashke, it's usher. And the Rashba says, no, you need that other element that the Gemara mentioned, that there is one place in the world that is common to do this. Then it's usher. Why? So Tosfos explains a little bit further, because if we would have such an abundance of fruit, we would also probably do it. So it's really normal everywhere that they have such an abundance of fruit. So it's normal. So in combination with the fact that you squeeze the l'shei mashke and you have an achshavei, and there's such a place in the world that it's common, and if we would have such an abundance of fruit, we would also do it. So the Rashba holds then it's usher. Okay, Rashi holds you're not allowed to squeeze anything with Shem Mashke. The Rashba holds you're only not allowed to squeeze with Shem Mashke if there's some place in the world that does it. And that's how the Ramah Paskins. If there's some, he passes like the Rashba. If there's some place in the world that they squeeze it with Shem Mashke, and the Mishnah Berurah adds, if you would have such an abundance of this fruit, of pomegranate, we would also squeeze it with Shem Mashke, then it's usher. So because of that, but if no one's squeezing these things with Shem Mashke, then it's allowed. No, we don't Paskin like Rashi. So let's say guavas. If no one squeezes guavas, l'shem mashke, you can do it. So Shmir Shabbos Kochasa though points out, nowadays there is no fruit where it's not common somewhere in the world to squeeze it l'shem mashke. So you can almost squeeze nothing anymore nowadays. Because there's always somewhere in the world that someone's squeezing it l'shem mashke. Okay, so 13, the answer is, according to Rashi, you're not allowed to squeeze anything l'shem mashke because of Achshavei. According to Tosis, according to the Rashba, you're only not allowed to squeeze it l'shem mashke if there's some place in the world that they squeeze it, and we would all, if we had such an abundance of fruit, squeeze it too. And that's how the Ramah Paskins, and therefore nowadays there's almost nothing you can squeeze l'shem mashke, the person can say, because there's nowhere, no fruit that's somewhere in the world, no, it's not common to squeeze it l'shem mashke. Almost every fruit somewhere in the world is common to squeeze l'shem mashke. So if you do it, you have achshavei coupled with the fact that someone's doing it somewhere as a regular occurrence, and therefore it's awesome. What was the minig of Mitzrayim regarding schitas limonayish, regarding squeezing lemonade? For what two reasons does the Beis Yosef justify this minig? So the minig of Mitzrayim was to squeeze lemons directly into water to make lemonade. So the problem is, how can you squeeze sushar peros, but you're doing it l'shem mashke? How is that allowed? How are you going to squeeze shar peros l'shem mashke? And they drink it as a mashke, so it's obviously common to be drunk. So you have a problem. How can we do this? So Beis Yosef says two reasons. Beis Yosef says either because the only time it's usher is if you squeeze it into its own independent container. You squeeze lemons into its own container of lemon juice. But here, they only squeeze the lemons into water and sugar. That was the last ingredient they put in. Oh, so that's allowed. It's only usher to squeeze it l'shem mashke, shar peros, if it's common. Here, this was the minig of Mitzrayim. So it's only usher if you squeeze it alone into a container, not if you squeeze it into a pre-existing mixture.
Is that because of Ochel Tova?
No, it's because it's not normal to be drunk by itself. And then his other one, I don't know, he says because you have to squeeze it. In order to be called squeezing l'shem mashke in some place in the world, they have to squeeze it into its own container. Then he says another heter. Yeah, that's one heter, he says. They have to squeeze it into its own container in that place in the world. His second heter is, no, you have to drink it on it on its own. And since they don't drink it by itself, so then that's why it's allowed. See, it's two heterim. Number one, over here, it's only usher if they actually squeeze it into its own container. And number two, you actually have to drink it on its own to be called lemon juice is common to be drunk. If they only drink it as part of a mixture, so then lemon juice is not common to be drunk here.
So if you squeeze any fruit, then the only issue is if you literally just drink the juices of the fruit itself.
Yes.
Not into water, not in...
So that's the two days that the Beis Yosef brings. Is it because you have to squeeze it into its own container, or because I actually have to consume it alone? So because of that, since the Beis Yosef brings two reasons why the lemon juice is different, the Mishnah Berurah is machmir, that nowadays that we squeeze lemon juice into its own container, you cannot do this anymore. You can't squeeze the lemons into a drink, because nowadays lemon juice is very common to be in its own container. However, the Archa Shulchan, Rebbe Avadya, disagree, and they say, no, the real reason is the second reason the Beis Yosef said. Yeah, in order to be called that it's a mashke that people drink, you actually have to consume it on its own. It's not enough that it's in its own container. And in order to be called something that's regular to be squeezed, people have to consume it independently. And nobody drinks lemon juice, even out of Yom HaZeh. Nobody drinks lemon juice independently.
So it would be mutter?
So it would be mutter to squeeze lemons into drinks. Yep. So that's the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, okay? The minhag of Mitzrayim was to squeeze the lemons into water and sugar. The Beis Yosef justified in two ways, because they're not squeezing it into its own independent container, and nobody drinks it on its own. And the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan argue which is the main reason. Is the main reason because you don't squeeze it into its own container? The Mishnah Berurah says nowadays we do squeeze it into its own container, so it would be usher. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, no, the main reason is because nobody drinks it on its own. And since nowadays nobody still is drinking lemon juice on their own, on its own, it should be allowed. Well, I'm just thinking now, cranberries. Nobody drinks cranberries on their own.
Cranberry juice?
Cranberry juice is always a mixture. It's a minority. It's like 10% cranberries. It's too bitter. You can't drink it on its own. It's too bitter. It tastes terrible. So maybe you could squeeze cranberries.
Should be like lemons.
What?
If you just have a,
it might be better. Has anyone ever seen cranberry juice in its own container? I've never seen it.
Excellent.
You've seen it?
I've never drank it, but I've seen it. Costco's got wonderful things.
Okay. Not for now. Yes, 15. You want to say something?
Yeah. What would be significant? Like, is
actually
significant
about? It has to be common. I've never seen cranberry. Costco
the amount of liquid in there to be certain. Oh,
I don't know.
So if you add a little of water to every orange juice you make.
Yeah. Drop can is 100% pure orange juice.
No concentrate. They have like some chemical maybe to like keep it fresh.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not the only ingredient.
He just said we should really accept the other reason the Beis Yosef says. What's the reason it's mutter to squeeze lemons? It was the minig in the place to squeeze lemons. The answer is no. It's only us if you squeeze it into its own container was the first reason of the Beis Yosef. Second reason of Beis Yosef was it's only us if you drink it by itself. So Ravadi says still no one's drinking lemons by themselves. So you can squeeze lemons into water. You can squeeze lemons into tea. But because the Mishnah Berurah didn't accept this heter, the Mishnah Berurah says you can't squeeze lemons into liquid, because nowadays that we squeeze lemon into its own container, it's also to squeeze lemons. It's like a pre that is normal to be squeezed. So look at question 15. How does the Mishnah Berurah say you could have your tea, your lemon in your tea? So Mishnah Berurah says, no problem. Squeeze it into a teaspoon of sugar. That's from lemon into oichel to oichel. That's allowed. And then put this teaspoon of sugar into your tea. And the Chazon Ish did not accept that. Chazon Ish said, come on, we know where it's going. The sugar, if you would eat the sugar like that, kids eat pure sugar. If you would eat sugar like that with a lemon flavor, fine, then it's mutter. But we all know where it's going. It's going right into the tea. Mom's going to squeeze it in and then put it right into the tea. So Chazon Ish said, since we all know where it's going, that's not called ukla de ifras, that's not called erchol on one end of the equation, erchol on the other end. We know exactly where it's going. So that's from erchol into mashke, that's asa. All right. That's question 15. Mishnah Berurah said it's mutter if you squeeze it into sugar, and the Chazon Ish said no dice. 16. Masay Shayach Zeres Mashkin Sezavu. When does the Iser Mashkin Sezavu apply? And why did Chazal excuse me? Why did Chazal Aser Mashkin Sezavu according to Rashi in the Ritva? So it's the first Gemara we saw about Schitas Peros. When does Mashkin Shezavu, the Iser of juice that just happened to flow from a fruit, when is it Aser? So the Gemara says everyone agrees by grapes and olives that it's always Aser. If you have a bowl of grapes and there's liquid left at the bottom, it's Aser. And everyone agrees by Shar Peros, if nobody squeezes them, which we don't have a Kimat nowadays. Every fruit someone's squeezing somewhere. But in the times of the Gemara, there were fruits nobody squeezed. So if nobody squeezes it, or cranberries, or lemons, let's say, nobody squeezes them, so then the Mashkin Shezavu is mutter. What about Tusim and Rimanim? Was a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that if it's oimed lemashke, the Mashkin Shezavu are aser. If it's oimed leoichel, the Mashkin Shezavu are mutter. Chachamim aser always. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Always Mashkin Shezavu from Tusim and Rimanim is aser. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's oimed lemashke, it's aser, if it's oimed la'oichel, it's mutter. Why did they aser mashkin shezavu? It's machlokes Rashi in the Ritva. Rashi says, because you might come to squeeze the fruit. If we allow you to have the grape juice at the bottom of the bowl of grapes, you might come to squeeze a grape. Ooh, this is delicious. You might say, squeeze it. And the Ritva says, no, it's because it's noilad. It's a liquid that came into existence for the first time on Shabbos. Something that did not exist coming into Shabbos. It's a new item, so it's mukta. What will be the difference? Can you move it? According to Rashi, it's not mukta. According to the Ritva, it would be mukta. Okay, so Mashkin Shezavu applies Zesim and Anavim all the time. Sharperos never. Tusim and Reminim, it depends. If it's Omer Ba'ochol, then it's the Mutter. If it's Omer Ba'mashka, then it's Aser. Rashi says it's Aser because you might come to squeeze the fruit. The Ritva says it's Aser because of Noilad. The difference will be, can you move it?
Wait, sorry, the first part was that. Can you just go?
Yeah. It's Zeis Min Anavim, always Aser. Yeah. No! The juice that oozes out on its own. The juice that oozes out. We're discussing now the juice that oozes out on its own. So the Zeis Min Anavim, the juice that oozes out on its own is always Aser. Sharp peiros, kiwi, let's say, or lemons, or cranberries, nobody drinks them on their own, whatever. Then it's always Mutter. Tusim and Rimanim, which are these fruits that sometimes people squeeze, sometimes they don't. Let's say, pomegranates. So then it depends, according to Rav Yehuda. If it's Omer La'Ochol, it's Mutter. Omer La'Mashke, then it's Aser. And then we had Machlokes, Rashi and Ritva. Why is this Aser in the first place? Rashi says because you might come to squeeze it. The Ritva says because it's Noilat. It's a new item that just came into existence on Shabbos. So it's Muktza. And the Nafkamina will be, can you move it? If it's because you might come to squeeze it, then you can move it. If it's Noilat, it's Muktza. You can't move it. Okay, 17. Why did the Chazon Ish allow you to put a lemon into your tea, meaning a whole, like a slice of lemon into your tea? Ooh, isn't there a problem? A mashkin shazavu. And why don't the Poskim accept his heter? So the Chazon Ish said, the Shulchan Aruch says, that mashkin shazavu, if it goes into a liquid, goes directly into a liquid, then it's batel. The only time Mashkin Shezavu are Usr is if it goes into its own independent container. Like at the bottom of the bowl of grapes, you find the grape juice. But if it goes into a liquid, then it's Batel. And it's Batel. So Chazon Ish said, if you put your lemon, even if lemons would be a problem, a Mashkin Shezavu might not even be a problem. But even if lemons, you can't squeeze lemon into tea. The Chazon Ish didn't allow you. So it must be, it's a problem of he treated it as Tusim V'Rimonim. So if lemons is a problem, how could, so then you can't squeeze it into your tea. Chazon Ish said, though, no, put the lemon into the tea. The lemon juice will come out on its own. No one's squeezing anything. And it'll be Mashkin Shezavu that went directly into the tea. No one's drinking the lemon. So it'll go directly into the tea. So it'll be Mashkin Shezavu from middle peiros that were not Omer L'Mashkin. So it'll be Batel right away. Or even if it would have been Aser, it would be Batel right away.
This is all
Chazon Ish. So Shulchan Aruch says Mashkin Shezavu that goes directly into liquid is Mutter, it's Batel. Chazon Ish said, good, put your lemon into your tea. The Mashkin Shezavu will go directly into the tea. And the Mashkin Shezavu will be Batel.
Would that be okay for grapefruit and strawberries also?
Yeah, because it goes directly into liquid, so it'll be Batel. Let's say you put grapes. I apologize, I made a mistake 2 seconds ago. If you put grapes into existing grape juice, and the grape juice comes out into existing grape juice, that's fine, it's Batel, no problem.
Wait, but how can you have Batel?
Mashkin Shezavu. Liquid that comes out, that goes directly into other liquid, never existed independently, is Batel right away. No, so he's saying, oh, if that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, the Mashkin Shezavu that goes directly into liquid is Batel, put your lemon into your tea. A slice of lemon. The lemon will go directly into the tea and will be Batel. Shalom al Yisrael. And the other Poskim disagreed. Because the only time something is batel, the Mishnah Berurah there says it's only batel if you can't taste it. It has to be batel b'shishim. If you can taste it, it's not enough with rov. You need 60 times against it. Like if you put milk into chicken soup. The only time milk is batel in chicken soup is if you don't taste it. If it gives it a milky flavor, or the steak has a buttery flavor, then that's us there. You have to be able that you can't taste it. So it's over here. The whole reason they put the lemon into the tea is why? So you should taste it. Oh, what the hell? So Chazon Ish allowed it because the Shulchan Aruch says Mashkin Shezavu to go directly into liquid is batel. Others disagree that the Mishnah Berurah says it has to be that you can't taste it. If you can taste it, then it's not batel. Chazon Ish might have disagreed with that. But that's why many don't accept that. The Chazon Ish. Last thing with regards to Schitas Peiros. Question 18. Okay, we got 17 down. And Shulchan Aruch says it's batel. Chazinish says good. Put the lemon into the tea. It will be batel. Others disagree. Since you can taste it, so then it's no longer batel. 18. Are you allowed to eat a grapefruit with a spoon on Shabbos? Why? And what is the story with the grapefruit juice at the bottom of the grapefruit, which is what everybody cares about? So some said you're not. Rabbi Yom HaTzadik, doesn't matter who, said you're not allowed to eat a grapefruit on Shabbos. Good argument, because it's a psik reishe to shechita. Ah. It's a psik reishe to shechita. And others disagreed. The Shmir Shabbos Kochasa disagrees, and he says, no, it's not your intention. It's a psik reishe. And it's a psik reishe where it's a psik reishe de loy nichole. You'd rather have juicy pieces.
It is nichole.
Shmir Shabbos Kochasa. You don't want the juice to come out.
You want
to eat the grapefruit.
Yeah, the best part is like when you drink it at the end.
If that's your intention, then you are going to have a problem. But let's assume that's not your intention. That's like a pleasant surprise every time. Oh, grapefruit juice. But he says it's a psigresha, the loy nichole, with our old two derabanans, something we've had in the past a million times. That it's kelachar yad. That's not the normal way of squeezing a grapefruit, is with a spoon. And he says grapefruits are only derabanan to squeeze the grapefruit. Because grapefruits are not the only thing that's awesome in the rice is zeisim and anavim. They're not grapefruits. The problem is, maybe grapefruits nowadays are deraisa. So again, some are eating the grapefruit with the spoon because it's a psik reishe to shechita. You're gonna be saich at the grapefruit. Shmir Shabbos Kochaz says maybe it's a psik reishe. It's not what your intention is. Intention is to eat the grapefruit, and it's two derabbanans. It's kalachar yad, and squeezing grapefruits is only derabbanan. But one could argue nowadays that squeezing grapefruits is deraisa. So he brings a better svar from the Shlomo Zalman. He says, no, but here, where is the fruit? Where did the juice go? Where does the juice go? Back into the grapefruit. So squeezing from the grapefruit into the grapefruit. So schita l'toich oichol. That's allowed. Okay? So some asa is squeezing eating the grapefruit. It's a psikresha to schita. Shlomo Zalman allowed it because where does the juice go? Back into the grapefruit. So it should be allowed. Okay, let's leave that. Let's leave out the psikresha to the rabban. It's too confusing. We don't need the whole story. Bottom line, here we are. Bottom line, psak. So the some asked it because it's a psikresha to shechita. The Shmir Shabbos Kochas allows it because it goes right back into the grapefruit. Oh, but what's the story with the juice at the end? That is mashkin shezavu. Can you have it or not? So we said it depends. What's the story with grapefruits nowadays?
How can it be mashkin shezavu if you were actively causing?
Because you weren't intending to squeeze. It came out on its own. I'm eating grapes. Grape. But you know what? When you eat grapes,
whether you intended or not, doesn't matter. It's only if it's a grape is sitting.
No, it oozed out without anyone squeezing it for that intent. Nobody's squeezing grapefruits here. I'm eating a grapefruit with a spoon.
I thought mashkin shezavu was only if you have nothing to do with it leaking out. But if you're actively making it leak out, whether you intend or not, doesn't matter.
Let's say I make a whole pile of grapes, and because I made such a big pile, there's grape juice at the bottom. That's mashkin shezavu.
You actively caused it to.
I caused it, but I didn't intend to squeeze out. Okay? So what's the story then? So it should depend. If squeezing grapefruits nowadays is deraisa, like some said, because then it's like grapes and olives, so you can't have the grapefruit juice at the bottom. It's like mashkin shezavu from zeisim and anavim. But if squeezing grapefruits nowadays is only midrabanan, it's still like tusim and rimanim. We don't change the categories. If the zeisim and anavim is deraisa, not everything else is deraisa. Maybe grapefruits are not deraisa. I don't even know. It's so common to drink grapefruit juice. It's not like orange juice. Huh? I like it too, but I don't think it's... Anyway, okay. So if it's deraisa, if you like grapefruit juice so much, you can't have the grapefruit juice at the bottom of the grapefruit. But if grapefruit juice is in the derabanan category, like tusim and rimanim, so this grapefruit was meant to be eaten, not drunk, so then you can have the grapefruit juice at the bottom. Okay? So the answer to question 18 is the following. Some asked eating a grapefruit with a spoon because it's a psikresha to shechita. Others allowed it. Because where does the liquid go? Back into the grapefruit. What about the grapefruit juice at the bottom? It depends. If squeezing grapefruits nowadays is deraisa, like grapes and olives, then you can't have the mashkin shezavu. If it's not deraisa, then since the grapefruit was meant to be eaten, not meant to be drunk, you can't have the mashkin shezavu. So I wouldn't argue with anybody who's doing either way. You want to answer it? Answer it. You want to allow it? Allow it. To me, it's not that important of an issue. Okay, 19. What are the four shitas in the Rishonim regarding squeezing snow, melting snow? How do we hold? Okay, there's four shitas. One shita is Rashi and the Ramban. They say it's also because of Mailid. You are creating something new. Not Noilad. Something new came into existence. It's Mailid. It's like you're creating a new item. Like if I put a scent onto a garment. We said to spray perfume onto a garment is like Mailid Reach. Like you're creating something new. A new scent. So it's over here. You're not allowed to create water. It looks like you're creating something. It's like Baina. That's Rashi and the Ramban. The Ritva says you're not allowed to do it because it looks like you're squeezing the snow. It's like Schitas Peros. We know you're not squeezing the snow, you're melting the snow. Okay, but it's also in the Rabban. And then the two last opinions are both the same person, but we're not sure what he said. It's the Sefer HaTruma. The Rashba and the Ramban quote the Sefer HaTruma as saying that it's Asar Mishum Noilad. Because the Sefer HaTruma said you're not allowed to take a dish that has congealed fat and put it near the fire on Shabbos. Because the fat will melt or liquefy and turn into liquid. So Sefer HaTruma said that's Noilad on Shabbos. So too over here, to change the snow from solid into a liquid is Noilad, is like Muktzah. You're creating Muktzah on Shabbos. That's why you're not allowed to melt the snow.
Isn't that the same thing
as... No. The Ramban and Rashi hold it because it looks like you're creating something new. They don't think that the solid to a liquid is a new state that it would be muktzah. It's not a new state. It just looks like if you start melting the snow, it looks like you're creating something, like a guy who sprays perfume. You spray perfume, nothing new was created, but it looks like you created something new. So to over here, if you're actively involved in melting the snow, it looks like you're creating something new. But it's not actually a change of state. It's not actually liquid to solid would not render something as muktzah. It's not something, a new item. It looks like you're doing something new because you're involved in melting it. So that's Rashi. The Ramban says Mailid. The Rashba says it's a gzeir of schitas peros. It looks like you're squeezing the snow. The Sefer Truma, according to one opinion, says it's also because of Noirad. He understood the changing of states from liquid to solid is also because of Noirad. And the fourth opinion was a different version of the Sefer HaTruma, that the Sefer HaTruma held is also Mailid. It looks like you're creating something new, but it was a detail machlekes between him and Rashi and the Ramban, is what do you have to, how far do we take that, that it looks like you're creating something new? Rashi and the Ramban held only if you're melting the snow actively, that looks like you're creating something new. Sefer HaTruma held even if you take something and put it next to a fire, that looks like you created something new. Which is much less of an action. Okay, four shitas. This is the whole story. Rashi and Ramban say it's moilid. Looks like you're creating something new. Rashba said it's because it's like a gzeir of shitas peros. It looks like you're squeezing the snow into liquid, like you squeeze a lemon or a grape. The one version of the Sefer HaTruma held it's also because of noilad, a change of state is a new item, so it's muktzah. The other opinion of the Sefer HaTruma held, no, it's moilid. But to extend the boundaries of what's called, looks like creating something new, is that even if you put something next to the fire and it melts, that's called creating something, it looks like you're creating something new. How do we hold lemaisa? So the Shulchan Aruch does not accept the Sefer HaTruma. You're allowed to put a dish that has congealed fat near the flame, as long as you don't violate the Isurei Bishul. You're allowed to put congealed fat near the flame, even though it's going to melt. And the Ramah quotes the Sefer HaTruma as saying you shouldn't do that unless it's L'Tzarech Shabbos. If it's L'Tzarech Shabbos, then it's allowed. If it's not L'Tzarech Shabbos, it's not allowed. We don't know which version of the Sefer HaTruma he's going with. Maybe it's also because of Noilad, it's because it's a new state of an item. Or maybe it's also because of Moilid. It looks like you're creating something new by putting it near the flame. Either way, the Sefer HaTruma didn't accept this. The Shulchan Aruch does not accept the Sefer HaTruma. The Ramah accepts it unless it's L'Tzarech Shabbos. That's the story. Yes?
I never really understood the difference between Moilid and Noilad.
Very different. One is like Baina. It looks like you're creating something. One is, there's a new item that came into existence, and that's also because it's Muktzah. Noilad is Muktzah. Moilid is a creative act that's like Baina.
Isn't one just cause and effect? Like Moilid, you're doing the action.
Yes, but you can have Moilid. They're very similar concepts. I totally understand why you're confused. But Moilid, I'm sorry I didn't explain it better though. But Moilid it doesn't have to be a new state to be Moilid. For example, perfume. There's no new state here. But it looks like you created something new. Whereas Noilad has to be a new state. So Ramban and Rashi argue on the Sefer Truma. They say liquid, solid to liquid is not a new item. It's not a beitza shenolda. It's not like an egg that was born on Yom Tov. That's usher because of noilad. The solid to liquid is not noilad.
So something can be molid and nolad, but it can't only be molid.
I mean, if you want to start with those, can it be this and not that, and this and that, not that, that we'll get into, yeah. We can phrase it in five different ways. But these are the two separate concepts. Okay, that's 19. 20. Ha'im mutal arasek shog bi'adam b'soch kos mashkin b'shabes. How does this relate to the machlokes rishonim we just mentioned? There's two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah. When the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed, I'm sorry, the Gemara said you're not allowed to melt the snow. You're not allowed to be marasik the shelig. But you're allowed to put it into a cup of liquid. Meaning I'm allowed to take snow and put it into a cup of liquid. So the Mishnah Berurah has two opinions. Are you allowed to actively melt it with like a spoon in the cup of liquid? Or are you only allowed to put it into the cup of liquid and it melts on its own? You're not allowed to melt snow if it's on its own independently on the ground to go and melt snow. You're not allowed to do that. For the four reasons we just mentioned. You're allowed to put into a cup of liquid. Are you allowed to melt it into the cup of liquid? What about that? That's two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah. So we suggest that that should depend upon the Machlokes HaRishonim. If the nature of the Iser of melting snow is because the action-oriented, it looks like you're creating something new, or it looks like you're melting the snow and it's like Schitas Peirois, so then you can't melt it into a cup of liquid either. It looks like you're creating something new, or it looks like you're squeezing fruit into liquid. That's usher. So for Rashi and the Ramban, or even for the Ritva, for the Rashba, that is usher because of Schitas Peirois, you're not allowed to melt the ice into the liquid. You're not allowed to stir it around with a spoon. But according to the Sefer HaTruma, who took the perspective, no, it's not an Easter that's associated with the action. It's because there's a new item that came into existence here, kind of like Mashkin Shazavu. It's no lad. So as long as it goes directly into liquid, it's batel. So it makes no difference if I melt it with the spoon or I don't melt it with the spoon. Either way, it's not going to be a problem. The whole issue is because I have a new item that came into existence. Here, it went right into existence. It's put into the liquid. So if it goes into the liquid, it's batel. No problem. It doesn't exist independently. Okay, so it's two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah. When you put the snow into the cup, are you allowed the water? Are you allowed to mix it with a spoon? One opinion was yes, one opinion was no. We said it could be related to Machlokes HaRishonim. Is the Iser melting snow action-oriented, in which case you're not allowed to do this action even in a cup of liquid? Or is it because it's product-oriented? You have a new item here, but as long as it went into an existing cup of liquid, it shouldn't be a problem.
What was the Ramban and Rashi's?
The Ramban and Rashi said it's moilid. It looks like you're creating something new, like I sprayed perfume on a garment. It looks like you created a new thing.
And for the second part,
probably. Also, then they would say
that's
you can't
the,
melt
that's
the snow.
Exactly the Sefer Truma saying?
No, Sefer Truma is saying it's a new item came into existence. It's muktzah.
And Rashi and Ramban saying it just looks like it.
No, it looks like you're creating something new. That's what Yair was pointing out.
According to the Sefer Truma,
see, it's action oriented. If I spray perfume onto a garment, no, there's nothing new here that's muktzah. It just looks like you're doing a creative act on Shabbos. That's a problem.
For Rashi and Ramban.
Yeah. For the Sefer HaTruma, no, there's a new item here. Whoa, like a beitza that just came into existence. So do I have liquid that wasn't here before? So they say, of course the liquid is here before. It's just in a solid state. That's not noilad. But the Sefer HaTruma feels
like
it is.
It's by what it looks like, and Sefer HaTruma says, no, it's by what
action. No, Rashi and Ramban say it's action of creating things.
Action.
And the Sefer HaTruma says it's product related. You have a new item that didn't exist before, and now it's muktzah. You found the very different focuses. Yes.
So are Rashi Ramban and Sefer Truma both also arguing about molid in general?
It's a huge difference. Can you put the we'll get to it in a second. Yes.
Is it molid according to Rashi Ramban to put that near the fire?
No, so they understood that's not an action. So it could be the Sefer Truma. That's not called creating. So it could be the Sefer Truma is just disagreeing about that. That's one opinion, version of the Sefer Truma. He's just disagreeing. That's also called creating. If you put it near the fire, that's called creating. That's the fourth opinion we mentioned. Or it could be the Sefer Truma is arguing, no, this is a new item. That's how some quote the Sefer Truma. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference what you did. If there's a new item coming into existence, it's muktzah. The difference will be you can melt snow, biadayim, into a cup of liquid because nothing new is coming into creation. It's going directly into the liquid, yeah.
Why is it allowed to spray on the body? Why is that not?
That's not called creating. Creating, why? And so because the Mishnah Berurah assumes spraying on body is not, you didn't create a new body, you know.
Because being created in a garment.
Right.
But sort of.
But it's like creation of a scent. They acid it on a garment. They didn't acid it on a body. So he said, so suffix in the parts can you spray it on your body, but you know you're gonna put your shirt on. That's the whole shtick the girls.
Also on the neck and stuff.
And then they go like this, yeah. So that's a problem.
Nah.
That's a shtick. I'm not answering it, I'm just saying people do it. I don't know what the story is. Yeah. Okay, Am I 21? Am I Hikmir Sefer Shmir Shabsko Chasa not to put ice into a bowl, an empty bowl? Why don't many poskim accept this chumra? So Shmir Shabbos says, according to the Sefer HaTruma, you should not be allowed to put ice directly into the bowl. Why? Because you'll have a problem with Nailat. It'll be a new item that came into existence. What about according to Rashi and the Ramban or the Ritva, that it's action-oriented, it looks like you're creating something new. I didn't do anything. I put ice into a bowl. There's no problem with that. So if it's action-oriented, you didn't do anything over here, so it should be no problem. You're not melting the ice. But according to the Sefer Truma, that it's muksa, because liquid for solid to a liquid is a new item. If you put ice into a bowl, an empty bowl in Shabbos, you have a problem. When the ice melts, it'll be muksa. So Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa says, to solve the problem, what you should do is put a little liquid at the bottom of the bowl before the ice melts. Because then when the ice melts, it melts into the existing liquid and nothing new came into existence. Okay, so they say the Shmir Shabbos Kachos is being machmir based on the Sefer Truma. You shouldn't put ice into a bowl independently, because when it melts, it will be noilad. For Rashi and the Ramban, that it's an Iser moilid, or for the Ritva, that it's like schita, so then there's nothing, no issue over here. But according to the Sefer Truma, it will be a problem.
So practically, we should put some of the drink first and then ice into the drink, as opposed to the opposite?
No, because it's not going to melt before you put your drink in.
Okay, so as long as there's...
It's only a problem if it's going to start melting. You have an ice bucket. Now there's melted water at the bottom of the bucket.
So
now the bucket's
melted. You need to put a little liquid.
According to Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa. So many do not accept this chumrah. Because it's only a chumrah for the Sefer HaTruma. And the Rama said, we're machmir for the Sefer HaTruma unless it's b'makom tzarech Shabbos. But b'di'eved, once it melts, we're not machmir for the Sefer HaTruma. You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't put the dish next to the fire. But he says, we're not machmir for the Sefer HaTruma. So when it melts, it won't be muksa. That's many don't disagree. The contemporary firm don't accept this chumrah of the Shmir Shabbos. The main reason they don't accept it is because the only time there's an Isser, even according to the Sefer HaTruma, melting snow in the first place is only if your intention is for the liquid. We saw the Shulchan Aruch said you're allowed to walk on the snow on Shabbos, even though the snow melts when you walk on it. Or there's one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch was you're allowed to urinate on the snow on Shabbos, even though the snow is going to melt. So the Mishnah Berurah explains the only time there's an issue of melting snow is if your intention is for the liquid. But if your intention is not for the liquid, there's never a problem of melted snow. That's why you're allowed to put salt down on ice on Shabbos. Because even though that's going to melt the ice, your intention is not for the liquid. Your intention is just to get rid of the ice. So whenever your intention is not for the liquid, it's okay. So salt over here, you're putting the ice in the bowl. You don't want it to melt. The intention is certainly not to drink the liquid at the end. So whenever your intention is not for the liquid, there's no problem. So again, the Achronim don't accept it for two reasons. Number one, once it already melts, we're not sure we accept the chumrah of the Sefer HaTruma. The whole Sefer HaTruma is just a chumrah. And number two, your intention is not for the liquid, okay? So the answer to the question is, Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa says the problem according to the Sefer HaTruma, if you put it in an empty bowl because it will be noilad. For the other Rishonim, it's not a problem because nobody's doing anything. But the Sefer HaTruma will be a problem. We don't accept it for two reasons. Number one, once it melts, b'di'eved it's mutter. Number two, the only time there's an iser of melting snow is when your intention is for the liquid. Here you don't have intention for the liquid. Okay, 22. What is the story with making ice on Shabbos? How does this relate to whipped cream, bubbles, and making soda on Shabbos? So the again, this should depend on Machlokes HaRishonim. According to the Sefer HaTruma, there's a problem changing something from a solid to a liquid is noilad. So too, changing something from a liquid to a solid and making ice will be a problem of noilad. Will be a problem on Shabbos. So that's why many Paiskim, I'd say the classical shita of the Paiskim was to allow it b'mokom tzarech Shabbos. The Ramah was only machmir for the Sefer HaTruma unless it's b'mokom tzarech Shabbos. But if it's b'makom tzarech Shabbos, you can do it. So if you're having a lot of guests and you need ice, you can make ice Friday night for all your guests Shabbos day, because it's only also for the Sefer HaTruma. Sefer HaTruma held there's a problem of changing states. The other Rishonim held you're not allowed to stir the melt the snow, either because it looks like you're squeezing the snow or it looks like you're creating something new. Here, I'm not doing anything. I'm putting liquid into a refrigerator. I'm not making anything. And I'm not stirring, I'm not squeezing anything. So it's only a problem for the Sefer HaTshuva that changing states is the problem over here because of Neurad, it becomes like a new item. So if that's the issue, so then the Ramah was only Machmer Shalom and Makom Tzarech Shabbos. But if it's a Makom Tzarech Shabbos, we could be Mako. But many disagreed, and they were Mako for two reasons. Rav Shlomo Zalman was Mako for one reason, because he said the only time that anybody can make ice, even if it's not Tzarech Shabbos, the kids want to have ices. So you can do it. Why? Because the only time that it's us in changing states is if it goes up from a less useful state to a more useful state. So snow is less useful, liquid is water is more useful.
Is that objective?
No. I guess so. It could change, you're saying. But he said...
Less useful to more.
Yeah, but it means more utilitarian purposes. So liquid has more purposes than ice. So he claimed going up and usefulness is usher. Going down is not usher. That's what he claimed. Based on all cautious for the Sefer HaTshuva, if we get into it now, why he said that, it would get sidetracked. We talked about it at the time, but the rehash now will be not time conducive. So he says it's only if it goes up in states, not if it goes down in states. So he said to go from liquid to ice is going down in the state. So that's mutter. Because the problem with the Sefer HaTshuva is to squeeze liquid from solid to liquid is noilad. How do you have to squeeze shar peros from solid to liquid? Should be also because of noilad. We said shar peros, if there would be such a thing, that nobody squeezes them for liquid is allowed. But how? It's changing states. So the so we said it's only if it's going up in your purpose for purposefulness, not if it's going down. So he says over here, ice goes down in usefulness, not it goes up. And we saw the tshuva from Simcha Zelig, the Paisik from Brisk, who perhaps wrote the whole tshuva just to give his askama to the Rav. Remember we saw it. So he calls it Simcha Zelig, the Dayan in Brisk, said it's allowed for two other reasons. He said, for one other reason, because he said that it has no kiyum. The ice will melt. It can't stay in that state. When you melt snow to liquid, it stays in the state of liquid. But the liquid into the snow is going to melt. Whenever it's not going to stay in that state on its own, so then there's no iser of nilad. Can't stay in that state. So since it can't stay in that state, it's not nilad. So we said that that's why many paiskim were make on the whipped cream. Even though in the can it's liquid, when it comes out it's kind of foamy. So some said that's not a change in state. It's mush to mush. Or solid, you know, thicker mush to a thinner mush to thicker mush. It's not a change of state from liquid to solid, solid to liquid. But either way, it has no kiyum. If you leave it like that for a few minutes, it's going to all melt. Or bubbles too, has no kiyum. Or soda also. Are you allowed to make soda, put the bubbles into liquid and make those fancy, you know, new soda machines on Shabbos? So it's a Shiloh Moilid, are you creating something new? Ah! So he said, no, because since it has no kiyum, that's not called creating something new, that's not called the change in state. So to over here, it should be allowed. Okay, so classical Paiskim settled with regards to ice, it should be part of the Chum of the Sefer HaTshuva, only allowed with Tzarech Shabbos. I would say that is the Pesach HaMakubo. But then, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, no, it's only if it's going up in states, not, you know, up in usefulness, not down in usefulness, and here it's going down. Liquid to solid, water to ice is less useful. So it should be allowed under all circumstances, and others argue because it has no kiyum. It can't last like that on its own. So that's not a change in states that's significant.
That's also the same thing by foaming soap, right?
Yeah, foaming soap, all those things. Even though it's not really a change in state, liquid to mush. You know, I don't know if it's a change in state. But even if it is, it has no kiyum. It's going to go back to the state, the old state that it was in. And when it has no kiyum, it should be allowed. Okay, so classical Paiskim allowed it with Tzarech Shabbos, part of the Chum of the Sefer HaTshuva. Others allowed it, even not, because it's going down and it has no kiyum. 23. We'll try and get to 28. Maybe we'll, I don't know, 23. People pass out, then I guess we'll stop. 23. Why is there no Issa Midaraisa? According to Rav and Shmuel, to squeeze pickles and cooked vegetables. According to Rashi and according to Tosfos, what difference is there between them? So the Gemara says that the opinion of Rav and Shmuel is that there's no Issa Midaraisa to squeeze pickles or cooked vegetables on Shabbos. for the even if it's for the liquid. Rabbi Yochanan held there is an isa midaraisa. Rav and Shmuel held there's no isa midaraisa. So Rashi says because the two did not grow together. The only time there's an isa midaraisa of schita or dash is if it's gidisha begidule karka. It grew in the karka like that. And that means that the two grew together. If they didn't grow together, that's not gidule karka.
The opinion of
Rav and Shmuel is that it's pater aval aser. It's not asa midaraisa. So the question is why?
To squeeze pickles
and cook vegetables. Why is it different than other fruits? So Rashi says because the two didn't grow together. The liquid didn't grow in there. We stuck the liquid into the pickle or into the cooked vegetables. But didn't grow there. So that's Disha Shaloi Begidule Karka. And Taisa says, no. But then 1 minute, according to Rashi, they never have an Issa Midaraisa to squeeze clothing. No liquid ever grew in the clothing. So it's always going to be ain disha el be gedulei karka. Gedulei karka means not that the garment has to be natural materials. What it means is that the two must grow together. Whoa, no garment grows with liquid in it. So according to Rashi, you'll never have schita by begadim. Midaraisa, the Gemara talks all over the place about schita by begadim. Squeezing clothes as being a problem. So Tosa says the reason why squeezing pickles and cooked vegetables is only asa midarabana, not midaraisa, because it's not normal. The only thing that's asa midaraisa is zeisim and anavim, not pickles and cooked vegetables. So according to Rashi, according to Tosa, schitas begadim can be midaraisa. It is normal to squeeze clothing. People squeeze clothing all the time. It's normal to wring out clothes. And Rashi would argue schitas begadim is never midaraisa by dash. When the Gemara, every time the Gemara talks about schitas begadim being aser, it's only aser because of melabein, of laundering. But it's never aser because of dash, or only aser be aser because of melabein. The Shi'ish Vistas HaShabbos points out, so again, Machlokes is Rashi says schitas pickles and cooked vegetables is only aser with the Rabbanan because it didn't grow there. And Disha Begadul Karka means the two must grow together. In which case, schitas begadim is only also because of melabein. Because since the liquid didn't grow there, it can't be dash. And Tarsus disagrees. He says, no, the two don't have to grow together. Schitas, and the reason why schitas, pickles and cooked vegetables is only midarabanan is because it's not normal, like olives and grapes. But to squeeze clothing would in fact be dash. You can skip the second part of the question. But according to the Shishas HaShabbos, when would Tarsus agree to Rashi by a synthetic garment? Even for Tarsus, you have to have Disha by Gedulei Karka. So the two might not have to grow together to be called Gedulei Karka, but something has to be over here Gedulei Karka. The garment must be Gedulei Karka. It must be something that grows from the ground.
Why would it be the same by pickles and vegetables?
It would be. Tarsus holds pickles and vegetables is would have been derisive, be normal. But nobody, who's what kind of weirdo squeezes pickles and cooked vegetables for the liquid? Pickle juice? It's abnormal. That's but begadim is normal.
Just squeeze liquid because you want the liquid out of the...
Yeah. Not abnormal. Sponge.
I guess so.
Oh, that's true. It's not abnormal. So therefore, but at least for Tosfos, it has to be gedulei karka. If it's not gedulei karka, then it's certainly ain disha begedulei karka. So Rashi understood ain disha begedulei karka means that they have two have to grow together. So squeezing pickles and cooked vegetables is only midarabanan. Squeezing garments would only be also because of melabein. But for Tysus, no, it doesn't mean the two must grow together. It means that what you're squeezing has to be gedulei karka. But begadim could be d'oraisa. The only reason vegetables and pickles is only midarabanan is because it's not normal. But at least the garment has to be gedulei karka. If the garment's not gedulei karka, it wouldn't be yosser. Okay. 24. Ay, it's a long answer. Whew. All right. 24. What are the four reasons that the Rishonim bring up that you're allowed to squeeze cooked vegetables and pickles for themselves, meaning not for the liquid, but in order to make them soft?
You squeeze what, sorry?
The Gemara says you're allowed to squeeze kvashim, we'll get to 28, we'll try and get to 28. You're allowed to squeeze kvashim and shlokos legufan, not for the liquid, but for themselves, meaning in order to dry them out. What are the four reasons the Rishonim bring up that that's allowed? So one reason is the Rashba. That is because schita le'ibud is always allowed. Schita that's going for waste was never usher. We explain the Rashba to be saying that if you don't have intention for the liquid, that's just not schita. We had similar paradigms elsewhere. that you have to have kavana for the product of the malacha in order to be aser. If you don't have kavana for the product of malacha, then it's mutter. That's the Rashba. The Ran said a different lamdish reason. The Ram said because every time you squeeze and you don't need the liquid, it's a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. It's a malacha that you don't need the product of the malacha. And the only time malacha she'ein tzricha legufa is aser, if it's an av malacha. But over here, schita is mafarek, which is a tolda of dosh, and malacha she'ein tzricha legufa, that's only a tolda, is mutter. Why? Because the only reason toldas are aser is because it has the same purpose as the av. But over here, you don't need the liquid that you're squeezing out. So it doesn't have the same purpose as the Av. It has no purpose at all. So the only reason it told us is because of its same purpose as the Av. Here, when you're not squeezing it out for the liquid, it doesn't have the same purpose as the Av, so it becomes mutter.
She's kind of partying.
Yeah. Why is it told us, sir? It's not the same action. Dush is threshing wheat kernels. So why is mafarik us, sir? Because it's similar. They're both the same idea. You're extracting something from something else. Let's say I'm not extracting something from something else. I don't care about what I'm extracting. Now it's not similar to the Yav at all. So the only time, says the Ran, you can have a malacha shein tzricha legufa, that's usher, a malacha that you don't need the product of the malacha, that's us midrabanan, is if you need the product, it has the same purpose, it's by an Av. Because that action is usher no matter what. The Tov is only usher by virtue of its similarity to the Av and its purpose. But here, if I don't need the purpose, it takes the rug out underneath the Tovah. You follow? So now it should be mutter. So one reason is the Rashba that in order to be usher for schita, you have to actually need the liquid. If you don't have intention for the product of malacha, it's mutter. The Ran says no. It's because it's a tolda, which is ain't tzricha legufa. Mefarek is only a tolda, and it's ain't tzricha legufa. So then it's mutter, because tolda is only usher by virtue of the fact that it's the same purpose. Here, you don't have the same purpose in mind, so it's mutter. The third and fourth opinions are, the Rabbeinu Tam said, that it's because it's a psigresha de loy nichale. Why? Because your intention is really to soften the vegetable. So your intention is really to soften the vegetable. How do you soften the vegetable? By squeezing it. The liquid that comes out is unintended. So it's an unintended secondary result. My intention is to squeeze the thing to make it softer. And this comes out anyway. And Rabbeinu Tam held that psigresha de loy nichale is mutter. Neri held that no, it's allowed because schita le'ibud, schita of squeezing the cooked vegetables and the pickles when you don't need the liquid is allowed, not because schita le'ibud is allowed, not because it's a tolda shein tzricha legufa, not because psigresha de le'nichale is mutter, my intention is really to soften the vegetable. No, it's because it is abnormal to squeeze these things. The only reason you're not allowed to squeeze it for the liquid is because, like, achshavei, you gave it a chashivus. Here, it's abnormal, mamish, abnormal, abnormal. Nobody squeezes pickle juice. They have not. There is nowhere in the world that they market cooked vegetable juice. Pickle juice. Nowhere. So that is actually shar peros. Nobody in their right mind squeezes these things. That's why it's allowed. Four shitas, okay? Rashba says you need it's because schita le'ibud is always mutter. Schita where you don't need the product is always mutter because in order to be also because of schita you have to have kavana for the product. The Ran says this is a tolda shein tzricha legufa. Squeezing vegetables is always a tolda and that's only also by virtue of its connection to the av and its purpose. Here you don't have the same purpose in mind, so it's mutter. Rabbeinu Tam said because your intention is to soften the vegetable, the fruit, and here so it's a psik, the word comes out as a davar she'eino miskaven. Something that's unintended, and even though it happens every time, so psikresha lo nichlei, he held psikresha lo nichlei is mutter. The Re said another different reason, that it's because it's totally abnormal to squeeze these things. So that's why it's allowed. It's like shar peros. The nafkamina will be, is schita li'ibud by other things allowed. Let's say I want to squeeze garments, or I want to milk li'ibud. So according to the Rashba, that's allowed. Schita le'ibud is always allowed. According to the Re, it's not allowed. The reason why you're allowed to squeeze the pickles and the cooked vegetables le'ibud, meaning if I only want them for themselves, I want to get the liquid out, but I don't need the liquid, that's allowed because it's totally abnormal to squeeze these things. But if it would be by begadim or by chaliva, it would be usher. Okay, so we had our four shitas in Rishonim, and the nafkamina between them will be, is schita le'ibud mutter or is it usher? 25. Whew. What are the two solutions that the Paiskim had for the kibbutzim, religious kibbutzim, to milk their cows on Shabbos? Two heterim. One heter is the Chazon Ish had to milk le'ibud. Even though we are machmir, that schita le'ibud is aser, midrabanan, we paskin like the Ri, not like the Rashba. Schita le'ibud is not mutter, it's aser. But b'mokom tzar ba'lechayim, which is deraisa, will allow schita le'ibud, which is only midrabanan. Schita le'ibud is only midrabanan because you don't need what you're doing. It's still malach shein tzich le'gufa. You don't need it. It's aser, but you don't need it. So that's mutter b'mokom tzar ba'lechayim. The other hatter that the paiskim had was to do it through a nachri. Amir le'nachri is derabanan, and tzar ba'lechayim is deraisa, so tzar ba'lechayim should push it aside. So the two solutions that they had is either tzar ba'lechayim can push aside amir le'nachri, or tzar ba'lechayim can push aside the isur midrabanan of schita le'ibud. Pretty straightforward.
And that was because we said nachri is amir le'nachri is allowed by tzar ba'lechayim.
Amir le'nachri is derabanan. Tzar ba'lechayim is deraisa. And the Gemara says, I don't want to get involved in the whole Gemara now, but the Gemara says you're allowed to push aside an isa midarabanan for tzar balechayim. Remember the animal that was drowning in the well and they threw the pillows to him? Then you took the pillow, which was a usable kli, and now you made it unusable. So that's an isa bitul kli mehechano. It's an isa midarabanan to take something and make it unusable. But we allowed it to save the animal. So we allow isa midarabanan in order to save an animal, tzar balechayim. 26. The wise one allowed to use, the Mishnah says in Shabbos, you're allowed to use a sponge if it has a handle. If it doesn't have a handle, it's aser. If it has a handle, it's allowed. How come if it has a handle, it's allowed? So Rashi and the Rambam say, because there's no psik reshe that you'll squeeze it. There's no certainty that you'll squeeze. You're holding the handle. Maybe you won't squeeze. If you're holding the sponge itself, you're going to hold the sponge, you're going to squeeze it by, for sure. If you hold it by the handle, you might not squeeze. So it's allowed. The Ravid said, no, what are you talking about? Getting squeezed for sure. Your whole purpose of using the sponge is the liquid should come out. The Ravid says, because if it has a handle, then it's made for liquid to come in and out. It's like a door that's meant to be open and closed. That's not Baina on Shabbos. So too, this is not Schita on Shabbos. Because the liquid is meant to come in and out. The Ravid.
But the Ravid still says that you're going to squeeze.
For sure, no problem. You open and close the door, you're buying it too. But that's mutter, because that's the way it's used. Usability, that's the way it's used. So not that's not a malacha. So Rashi and the Rambam held because you're not going to squeeze. The Ravid held because it's made to come in and out. If it's made to come in and out, that's not sita. Just like opening and closing a door is not buyna. Yes?
So I understand he would say by one without a handle that water wasn't meant to come
It's in. Not meant to come in and out. You decided to take a shmata and use it as a sponge.
What is a sponge? What do you say sponges?
A sponge was some naturally occurring material that they didn't make it in a lab in a factory in China somewhere. They took something and used it as a sponge.
So he's talking about the original.
Yeah, a real sponge. You might argue then by our sponges that come in neon colors, they're made in China somewhere. That even if it has no handle, it's made to come in and out. And you might be right. Yes, I never thought about that. But yes, a good point. Excellent. No, they only make of it as a handle. But it's a good point.
Why isn't
you're right. You should be right. It's made to come in and out. Fantastic. I agree with you. When is the Shulchan Aruch soymech on the Ravid? Only in one case. We really don't paskin like the Ravid. Therefore, if you know it's going to squeeze, you know a sponge is going to squeeze, even if it has a handle, it's really aser. Rashi and the Rambam said it's mutter, but it has a handle, because you're not going to squeeze it for sure and squeeze something out. The Ravid said, even though you're going to squeeze for sure out, it's mutter, because it's meant for that. So, but we really don't paskin like the Ravid. We really paskin like Rashi and the Rambam, that even if it has a handle, if you know you're going to squeeze, then it's aser. But the Shulchan Aruch is make like the Ravid, if it's not your intention to squeeze, and it's le'ibud, then he's make. Okay? If it's not your intention to squeeze, and it's le'ibud, we're make like the Ravid. So let's say he's talking about a stopper. The stopper on the side of the barrel, if you remember. So if it has a handle, since your intention is not to squeeze the stopper, your intention is to stop up the barrel. Some will get squeezed out as long as it's going onto the floor. As long as it had a handle, it was allowed. So schita le'ibud, as long as it's not your intention, is allowed. Okay, those are the two opinions, and when the Shulchan Aruch is semech on the Ravid. 27, last question for today. What are the svaras the price can bring up with regards to brushes and wipes? So the regards to brushes, the Paiskin brought up a few svaras as to why it should be allowed. The first one is, I think we'll have four. The first one is, it's not made from gidulei karka. You know, I'm talking about the Shabbos brushes, you know, instead of the sponge. Yeah. First one is, it's not gidulei karka. So we said even for Taisus that schita on garments or schita on items is usur. The two don't have to grow together, but it has to be made from gidulei karka. Ein disha be gidulei karka. And here it's made from synthetic materials. First reason is it's not gidulei karka. Number two, it has a handle. If it has a handle, it should be allowed. We could at least throw in the rivet into the mix. Number three, you might even say even if it has no handle, but that's what it's made for. It's a good argument. Number three, it has a handle. Number three, it's le'ibud. I don't need the liquid for any purpose afterwards. I just want it to wash down the side of the plate and go into the drain of the sink. That's le'ibud. I don't need the liquid later. And number four is, it could be that there's no schita here at all because nothing gets absorbed in the hairs of the bristles of the brush. Water gets trapped in between them. Rosh HaMazalman compared that to water that gets trapped inside of a pipette. Nobody would say that that's schita. So it's over here. Water gets trapped in between the bristles of the brush, but it doesn't get wider. It doesn't expand when there's water in it. Nothing changes about it except the water got stuck in between the bristles. Rosh HaMazalman said it has to get bigger. It has to like expand because of the liquid. So four reasons. Number one, it's made from gidulei karka. Number two, it has a handle. Number three, it's le'ibud. I remember the Shulchan Aruch said we could throw in the handle thing if it's le'ibud. And number four is the water just gets trapped in between the bristles. It doesn't actually get absorbed by them. What about the wipes? So the Paiskim have all the same svaras. Ibud, it has no handle, but you have the ibud. It's not gidulei karka. All wipes are made from synthetic materials. And you don't have the heter that it gets trapped in between the bristles. Really, you have three heterim by the wipes. It's le'ibud, and it's not gidulei karka. And number three is that Ramosha added that most of the liquid that you need is on the surface of the wipe. You don't need the water, the liquid that's in the wipe. It's enough with the liquid that's on top of the wipe. Oh, you might do a psigrei. You don't need the liquid that's inside of the wipe. So those are the three heterim that they say by the wipes. So you don't have to use the spritz on Shabbos. We give a heter. Number one, it's not gidulei karka. Number two, it's le'ibud. Number three, you have enough liquid that you could use on the surface of the wipe. You don't need the liquid that's in the wipe. Okay, Rabbi Zev, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow, 28, we'll go to the end. What time should we start tomorrow?
I think we should start a little earlier.
I agree.
We
could do 10:30 to 12. Does that work for people?
10:30. Yeah, we can do
10:30. But it eats up half the morning. That's all right?
Yeah.
You have all afternoon to study.
Yeah.
Okay, 10:30 it is.